Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Hero TJ, and I'm here with Amiibo Jason. Jason, how you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Not as good as you. So I have a feeling I'm going to be shutting up a lot in this podcast today. This is going to be the TJ show for sure.
You know what? I got home last night and I get a message from you. So for you, it's morning time. And it just said, if I recall correctly, OMG. And once in a while, I'll get a message from you that is somewhat excited and cryptic, and it usually is something pretty earth-shattering. So I just messaged back, what did I miss? If you would have gave me a million guesses, I would not have came up with what it actually was, which is a follow-up to Hyrule Warriors, one of my favorite Zelda games of all time, and it is crossed with my favorite Zelda game of all time, Breath of the Wild. And I immediately went and watched the trailer, and I was so emotionally moved that my wife pulled out her phone and videotaped me with tears welling in my eyes, and of course promptly posted it onto her Instagram. Can I tell you something really, really weird?
Yeah. Go for it.
So about 2 weeks ago, I really had an itch to just play some Zelda. And I was like, I want to go fight a Lionel. I just want to go fight a Lionel and beat some Lionels up. I periodically get that inclination. And so I'll go in and I'll just start doing Hyrule Patrol and cleaning up some of the bad guys, because I've already done everything else there is to do in the game. But I loaded the game, and for some reason, I was like, no, I'm just going to go into Hyrule Warriors instead. And so I closed out Breath of the Wild and I turned on Hyrule Warriors, and I have purchased Hyrule Warriors 3 times. I bought it on the Wii U and I loved it. I thought that the story was amazing. And I know that saying that right now, there's a lot of you guys being like, what? The story of Hyrule Warriors was ridiculous and stupid and shallow. No, wrong. It was amazing. And I love the way that it wove all of the different Zeldas together. And there are things about the game that certainly reach into the absurd. But there is no game that is more lovingly crafted than Hyrule Warriors. And I loved it so much that I thought I would like to enjoy it portably. So I bought it when it came out for the 3DS. I had already invested tons of time into it. Of course, I did the story campaign and tons of the adventure maps. Yep. The content in this game, I can't think of a game that has more content. When you consider the DLC, just going through the adventure maps alone, it's a 1,000-hour adventure if you want to do everything. And so I got pretty deep into it in the Wii U. But then I kind of abandoned it when I got the 3DS version because it was more complete.
Yeah.
And so I played all the way through that one, and I did a bunch of the adventure maps. Then when Definitive Edition got announced for Switch, usually when there's a game that's pretty much a port of a game that I've already played quite thoroughly, I hem and haw whether or not it's adding enough for me to want to play again. But I did not hem and haw this time. I downloaded Definitive Edition immediately, and I started pouring into that game. But because I played so much of the other ones, I would say my cumulative time is incalculable in Hyrule Warriors. And so I had not yet unlocked the full power of the Master Sword. For those of you guys who are not aware, in Hyrule Warriors, you can unlock the Master Sword, which is a fairly powerful weapon in the game. But to really unlock it, you kind of have to do something similar to what you have to do in Breath of the Wild, where you have new levels to unlock, and the first level means you have to collect the weapon for every other character in the game, and that takes some time because they're scattered throughout the adventure maps. So sure. You can't exactly just go in and power through. It takes a lot of time to do it because you have to build the characters up to the point where they're powerful enough to beat the more difficult maps. And I finally did it early this week, and I've been staying up all night, all week, playing Hyrule Warriors for some reason. And then 3 days ago, I was kind of dozing on the couch while I was playing, and I had a dream that I was fighting a Lionel in Hyrule Warriors and that I could play as the champions. And then when when you messaged me and I watched this thing, it was like something that I wanted so bad. Yeah. I wanted to be real so bad that I designed it in my heart. And then Nintendo took that, like they pulled it straight out of my soul. They took the exact game that I wanted and they brought it into being. So I can say unequivocally, with absolute certainty, that in my 30 plus years as a gamer, there has never been a game I have been more excited about than Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity.
And there's a lot to unpack with this. Obviously, besides the trailer, we got this really great opening from Nintendo. Eiji Onuma was front and center, kind of explaining what to expect from this game. The original Hyrule Warriors took a lot of liberties with the Zelda timeline. It took a lot of liberties with the characters. It was fun. I don't know if I would call it a canonical chapter of the Zelda series.
It definitely played fast and loose, but I think that this does solidify it as a canonical game.
I think this game legitimizes the previous game.
Yeah. Now, I tweeted a couple years ago how, like, everyone was for some reason really obsessed about where Breath of the Wild landed in the timeline, and I don't really care about that. We all know that Nintendo doesn't plan necessarily where these games are in specific. They don't really care how they coordinate. They play fast and loose themselves. They've even moved Link's Awakening in the timeline. Yeah. I think between the encyclopedia and the other book. So we know that the timeline is not Nintendo's forethought. It's an afterthought. But it was so obvious to me from the beginning, because Zelda says some line to Link, like, whether in the skies or the twilight or over the seas. So she's clearly referencing Skyward Sword, Wind Waker, and Twilight Princess.
Yeah.
And we also know that it comes pretty late in the Zelda timeline, but it was like, this is the convergence of all timelines. And the game that is the convergence of all timelines is Hyrule Warriors, where in that is the only Hyrule Warriors, that is the only Zelda game where all of the timelines are funneled into one. So it really is the unifying timeline. And even though those events of those games did not necessarily happen in that timeline, certainly they would be made aware of those things because they actually interacted with the characters from those timelines. So I think that puts Breath of the Wild squarely after Hyrule Warriors. And that puts this game as a sequel to Hyrule Warriors and as a prequel to Breath of the Wild, which is breath of fresh air.
I'm still pretty hardcore in the camp that the original Hyrule Warriors was not canonical. And I say that specifically based on the video saying that, unlike the first game, Nintendo and the Zelda team were in constant communication with Koei Tecmo to create this game, which led me to believe that Nintendo was kind of like more open with Koei Tecmo to do whatever they wanted with Hyrule Warriors, because it was kind of outrageous in so many ways.
Yeah, but a testament to what an amazing job they did, that Mr. Aonuma would his head would go here, where he would be like, hey, you know, what they did with that Hyrule Warriors game was so good.
Yeah.
That could actually be a legit installment in the Breath of the Wild trilogy.
Oh, for sure. And my hope for this game, before we get too far into this, my hope for this game is that they play it very straight from a story perspective. Like, no time warps, no characters jumping out of a portal to help. I want this to be a straight Warriors-styled prequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And based on everything we're seeing, it looks like that's the case. But either way, I'm excited for this game. I am beyond excited for this game.
Yeah.
The box art, like the key art so for good. This game is stunning. Just absolutely so gorgeous.
It looks just like the artwork from Breath of the Wild, the like beautiful, vibrant, saturated paintings that we got all throughout the promotional period of Breath of the Wild, and then subsequently the DLC.
Yeah.
And this game is very much what I was hoping for from the Champions Ballad. I felt like the Champions had so much effort put into them, and yet they were so tragically underutilized in Breath of the Wild. Yeah. And then even the Champions Ballad, which centered around them, it fleshed them out as characters, but it was so unfulfilling, unsatisfying. It left me wanting more.
Yeah.
And this is exactly that more that I wanted.
There is going to be quite a lot of story elements in this game, just based on what we've seen. I want to make sure that we structure this, I guess, in a way that we'll talk about each topic of this game, what we hope to see from it. I'm hoping in kind of an order. I'll kind of dice this up and put it on YouTube later, I think, too.
Yeah, man. You're gonna have to kind of be the ringleader on that, because
I'll do my best.
I'm floating. Rein me in.
What I do want to talk about first is just Nintendo and their holiday strategy, because we talked about this last week on the podcast.
Yeah, man.
My guess, and again, I'm proven wrong so quickly. My guess was that was it for holiday. Nintendo could not put out a game so amazing from the time that we are right now in September to where it needs to be released sometime in November. And again, I was proven wrong. This is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, with the exception of the Mario All-Stars pack, which was announced and then subsequently going to be released 3 weeks later. This is the first Nintendo game that had this quick of a turnaround from the time that it was announced to being actually released from a AAA standpoint. Because I consider this to be like a AAA type game. And we're talking 2 months notice.
Yeah, it's definitely rare. If it has happened, I can't think of another time in recent memory, certainly. But like 3 weeks ago, or at least the last time we podcasted, but the time before, I remember really feeling like Nintendo had spent everything that they had and that the only direction to go was back to the well, which meant a new Mario, a new Mario Kart, and a new Zelda. And then by the last podcast, we got Mario and Mario Kart. So when we were talking about it, I'm like, they definitely have to have a holiday title. And we need it to be a Zelda palate cleanse. So I didn't feel like Breath of the Wild 2 was ready. We did like float the idea of a Skyward Sword remake, which I mean, it didn't seem like it was big enough.
It makes more sense for next year for the 35th.
Yeah. I knew that they needed Zelda, but I never would have guessed that it would be this.
Yeah.
So oftentimes, Nintendo creates these ideas, inspiration in fans, and I'll get my own ideas about what I want out of a game, or I'll see ideas that other people have, and I think, yeah, that's so right on the money. That would be an awesome game. And very seldom does Nintendo deliver so exactly according to like my hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
But this is just like a bullseye. This is a bullseye where they shot another arrow and split that arrow.
It is, like I said, here's what's surprising for me. Nintendo typically lets announcements breathe for a bit. So this is the 35th anniversary of Mario.
Yeah.
And in typical Nintendo fashion, pre-pandemic, Nintendo would say this is the 2 month or 3 month period where we're celebrating Mario. It's going to be Mario, Mario, Mario. We're going to give the All-Star Pack the entire month of September to breathe. So it's surprising to me that Nintendo is just like, here's the All-Star Pack. It's coming. It's coming in 3 weeks. You can pre-order it right now. And then a week later, we get this. And again, this is not typical Nintendo. And granted, we're not in typical times either.
Right. I do wonder if we would have had, let's say, a typical year, if all of the games that were revealed since June would have been in E3. Like, would they have said, and Shadow Drop of Paper Mario, and look at all these Mario things that are coming up, and here's a Pikmin remake, and we're going to close this year out with this amazing, unexpected Breath of the Wild prequel framed by Hyrule Warriors.
If Nintendo is strategically making these announcements right now because we have Xbox and PlayStation making their big announcements too near the end of the year. Because again, I don't think this would be as impactful if this was like an E3 press conference. We got all this stuff back in June.
Yeah, I think so too. But to your point of Nintendo normally giving it time to breathe, in a normal year, it probably would have been crammed into a 3-day time span. Yeah. So in some ways, I think they're taking that 3-day time span and giving it time to breathe. Like, it does feel like we're hot on the heels of this enormous Mario announcement. Yeah. And now we get this colossal Zelda announcement.
I do miss Nintendo Direct, though. There was so much content in the past week that was just dropped on Twitter or YouTube. I'm kind of surprised a Nintendo Direct wasn't done. This solidifies for me, without a doubt, that we are not having another Nintendo Direct this year. In a typical format.
Maybe not general, but I do feel Smash news is probably on the horizon. I mean, maybe next week they announce the next Smash character. It feels like even though we have so much already, they're not slowing down. Because they, even at the end of this trailer, they announced that there's going to be a follow-up. I don't know if it's a follow-up trailer or at least more information revealed on September 26th.
Which is a Saturday.
A little unusual for Nintendo.
Very, very unusual for sure. Granted, we don't know what time specifically on Saturday. I mean, it could be Saturday morning. Well, no, that doesn't make sense either because I'm like, maybe Japan time, but Japan's ahead of us, right?
Yeah, I'm like 12 hours ahead of you, and I'm not sure if I'm in the exact same time zone as Japan, but I'm pretty close. I'm only 4 hours away.
If it's a Saturday, my money is on Treehouse. So.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I wouldn't be shocked if we see some sort of Treehouse announcement. I'd love to see gameplay just live for an hour, something
Me
like
too,
that.
Because I have so much questions about that. Like with the first Hyrule Warrior game.
Yeah.
The controls to that game were not especially dissimilar to, let's say, Ocarina of Time, a staple in the series, where the game was some criticism was levied against Hyrule Warriors early, saying that there was no nuance to the combat, to which I immediately refuted, because in Ocarina of Time, you have one attack button. In Hyrule Warriors, you have immediately double that. You have two attack buttons, and you can press those attack buttons in different combinations to produce different attacks. So already it eclipses any other Zelda game in terms of the variety of combat that you're capable of doing. In fact, I'm going to take this back to the first E3 where we played Breath of the Wild on Wii U. I was hot on the heels of Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
And Hyrule Warriors is fast. At that point in time, Hyrule Warriors had dethroned Majora's Mask as my favorite Zelda game. It was so fast-paced, and it centered around my single favorite aspect of any Zelda game, which is the combat. And Hyrule Warriors is the distilled version of that, raw and pure. So it being so fast, and then getting into Breath of the Wild and playing it as an early game Link, he felt very slow. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to like this game. I wonder if Hyrule Warriors has spoiled regular Zelda for me. And then after actually playing Breath of the Wild, I realized what a fool I was, a classic fool, because Breath of the Wild was a momentous occasion in my life. And I loved the game so much that it surpassed any other Zelda experience. Yeah. So literally my two favorite games sandwiched together. But how now is Breath of the Wild's changes going to impact the controls of Hyrule Warriors? Where Hyrule Warriors typically, well, I shouldn't say typically, Hyrule Warriors controls boasts more moves, more maneuvers than you were previously allowed to do in a Zelda game. But Breath of the Wild really altered the convention by adding a jump button and by adding climbing and by imposing the stamina meter. So are those elements going to have any impact on the controls of Hyrule Warriors? Are the characters going to jump? Is that going to even be a factor?
That's a good question. I mean, we know very little about the mechanics of it. Nintendo Japan released one screenshot of the HUD that we have not seen in the U.S. yet.
Oh, and I didn't see it.
Hang on, I'll throw it on screen. Boom! All right.
Mm.
So it's very, very similar to what we had with the previous game. So on the left, you have your characters. So you have Link, Zelda, and Mipha, which is just unbelievable that, number one, this screenshot shows me something that I never knew I wanted so bad. And we are fighting with Zelda and Mipha, which I'm shook by that.
I feel like we had a conversation going back years where I was hoping that the Champions Ballad would allow you to play as the champions in some way or experience. And they sort of gave you a half measure. Like, they let you experience the moment where the champions died, but as Link, as a substitute for the champions, and in that memory, you triumph. So we sort of got to understand the circumstances that ultimately led to the champions' deaths, and then also were able to redeem them somehow, sort of, through those memories.
Yeah.
But that's not quite the same as playing as them and experiencing them. And this is playing as them in their prime, at their peak, at the most critical moment in the story. This is when the action happens.
Yeah.
So, like, it is so much more than what it would have been to be able to play them in Breath of the Wild.
It would be Zelda.
Like, for sure.
So I still play Zelda with my daughter. We played tonight, actually. I rushed my daughter down from her break at homeschool today to see this trailer. And the first thing she said was, "You can play as Zelda?"
My daughter,
too. Oh, yes, you can. And this is something that, as a little girl, my daughter spends most of her time doing two things in Breath of the Wild. Number one, she pretends to be a mother to birds that live in Rudo Village. These four birds in Rudo Village. And the second thing she does is she dresses like
the Gerudo.
A Gerudo. And she hangs out with all the other Gerudos because that's where she likes to hang out. She likes to dress like a girl and she likes to go in and talk to all the people there. She has spent an hour straight just talking to people doing that. And for me as a guy gamer, it never really stood out to me how it's not totally inclusive like the Legend of Zelda series. And my daughter loves playing as Link, but given the option to play as a badass female character, she will. And she's really excited. And then I told her Urbosa was playable too, and she was like mind blown.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, "Oh my God, Urbosa!" So for that reason alone, I'm incredibly excited. Granted, my daughter has never played the Warrior series before, so it's going to be a trickier kind of experience for her. She likes the exploration of The Legend of Zelda. She likes the idea of not being on a time limit, which this game is very much on a time limit.
Sometimes. Like, a lot of the levels do impose time challenges on you, but not always, so it'll be interesting to see.
It's much more hectic. Compared to just like stroll around and make some parfaits.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be any strolling around in this game.
Yeah, but either way, the fact that we have these three characters to choose from just in this screenshot is awesome. Obviously, we have a magic meter, which makes sense. Zelda's using some form of magic, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't think we saw this in the trailer. This is stasis? Cryonis. This one's Cryonis right here.
Okay.
The making the ice blocks.
So, I see ice blocks around her, but what is the yellow thing in the middle?
Maybe Magnesis?
Yeah.
She does use stasis.
She's swinging something around.
Yeah. It kind of looks like there might be a magnetic connection between what she's holding and the object. We do see her use stasis on the Lionel in the trailer.
Yeah.
And then we also see Link at some point use the remote bombs. So I think it's safe to say that all of the runes that you can unlock in Breath of the Wild will be making an appearance. But one of the interesting things about that is in Hyrule Warriors, you can unlock like a handful of items, but those items are accessed across all characters. And in Breath of the Wild, only Link and Zelda can really use the runes from, and we don't even really know to what extent Zelda can use the runes. It does seem like that's the angle that they're going at with Hyrule Warriors.
In the screenshot, she has her own Sheikah Slate, which makes sense.
And to my knowledge, there's only one Sheikah Slate in existence.
So she might have the only one.
Right. So unless a character possessed the Sheikah Slate, I don't know that they would be able to perform those moves.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that means maybe more typical items will be available across all characters, or maybe they forego that feature altogether and there's another way to do that. I'm not sure. I'm curious.
So Zelda's not carrying a sword at all, or a weapon, or a shield, mind you.
Right. And so, she's not really a warrior in this game. Yeah. Even Sakurai, when he was making Smash Ultimate, said that he had originally considered updating Zelda to the Breath of the Wild version, but that she wasn't a warrior. She was more of a scholar, so it didn't seem like an appropriate match. And now she's in a game where warriors, literally in the title, and they do have to find some way to make this scholar, who hasn't even fully unlocked her powers, but she is very tech savvy. It seems like the angle that they're going with her, and I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she's the only person that can utilize these techniques. In the trailer, I don't recall seeing Link or anybody else using these techniques.
Well, he throws the remote bombs and breaks down a Bokoblin tower with them.
Okay, so that takes that out.
but maybe they, just like you, they impose certain characters upon you in different missions in Hyrule Warriors. Like, so you have to play as... So, yeah, maybe in some missions, Link has the Sheikah Slate, and maybe Zelda does. I didn't get the impression, playing Breath of the Wild,
that Link
ever used it.
Yeah.
Zelda was the one who kind of carried it around like a precious baby.
And not to mention, although, she's even like, Link, this is a Sheikah Slate. Like, everything you do is on this. Like, she was explaining to Link at the beginning of the game what this is.
Right.
Granted, that was for the player more than for Link to understand what's happening. But I'm curious how close they're going to have to stick to that script.
I think that they probably have a considerable amount of latitude for the purposes of just creating a fun game. The story is important, and I think we're going to get a lot of story here. But I think the experience trumps that, just like it does with all Nintendo games, where if they need to make a consideration or a compromise with continuity to improve the player experience, they will absolutely do that. And I'm fine with that. I just accept that as part of what it is to get that. I would rather they give me a game that is more fun than that they hold too rigidly to something that's been established in a previous game.
Oh, I have a feeling that this is going to be a full-on prequel. Like, I think Nintendo wants to make sure, the fact that they're telling this story at all, this is the first time we're getting this level of detail about what happened in that war.
Yeah. Which is the most interesting period of time in all of the Breath of the Wild era.
The fact that
it was only
from peace to war.
Seriously, it was just teased at in the game. So we kind of missed out on the most climactic part of that entire story. And now we get to get thrown into the thick of it.
Yeah.
And that is just, it's almost so exciting, it's overwhelming for me.
It's still bizarre to me that Nintendo is trusting a third party to take the reins on such an important story. And granted, I'm sure Nintendo is, again, along for the entire ride, making sure everything is where it needs to be. But again, it's still surprising. But I'm happy to see everything is pretty much laid out the way you would imagine. In the screenshot here, it looks like they're in Zoro's domain. I think that makes sense why Mipha's there. In the background, I think that's Zoro's domain, right?
I don't know.
You see that bridge back there? Then you see the dam in the back.
It almost also kind of looks like the docks under Hyrule Castle. That could be Zoro's domain. Oh yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah, I'm going Zoro's domain on this one.
You're right. And then if you look at the shape of the map,
that is
definitely Zoro's domain.
But again, everything looks like it's in the same place that you would imagine it should be. I am more excited for the story than I am for the gameplay. I am probably going to be, once I beat this game, somebody I'm sure is going to upload all the cutscenes to YouTube, and I'm going to watch it like 500 times. It looks like such an absolute pristine way to tell this story.
It so is.
And
I just want to fight a Lynel so bad.
Give us some time to just wait for Breath of the Wild 2. This is, honestly, I think this is the best advertisement that Nintendo could have for Breath of the Wild 2.
Jason, I didn't think I would ever be able to say this, but I actually don't even care about Breath of the Wild 2 anymore. I don't care how long it takes for them to release that game, because I see myself poring over this. I would not be surprised if I like this more than Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
because it's taking, I guess there's going to be a lot of, the things that I loved about Breath of the Wild are not the things that I loved about Hyrule Warriors. And so I'm curious to see how these two, what is the perfect marriage of those games? And I don't even really know, but I'm so excited to see how Link controls. I don't really have any problems bouncing back and forth between Breath of the Wild Link and Hyrule Warriors characters. So I doubt that this is really going to be much of an issue for me either. Every Link game controls differently, but yet similarly. But this particular one is taking a Zelda game that controlled somewhat conventionally, and then a Zelda game that completely broke convention.
Yeah.
And now they're going to try to merge those. So they are continuing with the Hyrule Warriors. Is it going to basically be the Breath of the Wild characters and story plugged into the Hyrule Warriors model? If that's what it is, I'm completely fine with that, because I love the way that those characters control. Or are they going to try to take some of those more unconventional aspects, like jumping and climbing, and try to find some way to infuse that into the way that the characters move in Hyrule Warriors?
The climbing is an interesting question, if we would see climbing, because climbing is such a big part of the game. To the best of my knowledge, we haven't seen anything regarding climbing. So I think it's going to be the former, where it's going to be Breath of the Wild plugged into the Warriors kind of layout. I think there's going to be certain things that are going to be similar, kind of like a nod to the move sets and just the overall movements in Breath of the Wild. But I think it's going to be a Warriors game more than anything.
I wonder how free roaming it's going to be, because the Zora domain
looks small.
Map, it looks small, but it is small. And Zora's domain, the way that it's laid out with all the narrow paths, is basically like what your typical Hyrule Warrior stage is. But normally in Hyrule Warriors, you're basically running around trying to capture keeps and defeat enemies and enemy commanders and ultimately the boss. Sometimes big bosses, but it's very simplified, and you do have considerably limited parameters in where you can go. But Breath of the Wild did the exact opposite, where they said, hey, you can go anywhere.
Yeah.
You have no limitation. And in some of these screenshots that they're showing, including some of the gameplay screenshots, it looks like the world is quite vast.
It does.
So I wonder how they're going to manage the constraints, because of course, obviously, they have to. They cannot have this full open world load every single time like Breath of the Wild does.
Oh, they're going to break it into chunks for sure. I'm not thinking it's going to be overly expansive. Most of the screenshots I've seen, like Urbosa, is taking place in the Gerudo Fortress.
Sure, area. Which is already basically a Hyrule Warriors map.
And the areas that I'm seeing in Hyrule Field look like they're separated in a way, like there's debris blocking you on one side, debris on the other side. I think it's going to be pretty much what we have come to expect from the Warriors franchise, which isn't a bad thing at all.
No.
But who knows, there might be certain areas that are bigger, especially once we get to what I'm assuming the final battle is going to be, where we're dealing with 100 guardians coming at you.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's
what I have intense. A hard time understanding is how they're going to make me lose, because I'm so good at Hyrule Warriors, I could break the game.
Yeah.
Like, I might change history when I play it.
So the question here, and correct me, I don't know the answer to this, and you might. In Breath of the Wild, so before the fall of Hyrule, so 100 years before the game, was Ganon in his phantom form at that point? He obviously wasn't in beast form, but was he in the form that he took at the end of Breath of the Wild when you fought him the first time?
I don't believe so. I think that he was in the pink malice form.
So
and
I'm curious if we're going to get a different form of him.
Yeah, me
in
too.
In this game.
And like, maybe
could we see him as a human? I mean,
maybe.
Breath of the Wild 2 obviously starts off with Ganondorf's skeleton, right?
Presumably, yeah. It's certainly all signs point to that.
So I'd be really curious if this game is going to give us like our first look at a hydrated Ganondorf.
Man, what if? Wouldn't that be great? Because we don't really know what circumstances exactly led to smoke malice form Ganon. Manifesting in that form. Like, well, he didn't start out like that, but we don't know at what juncture during this hostile takeover of Hyrule that did that occur.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of interesting story points that Breath of the Wild kind of threads together, but they do it in a very non-linear format. And it kind of depends on your own experience as a player. So I feel like it's probably far more likely that Hyrule Warriors is going to weave this together chronologically in more of a linear way, so that the story is not told in small disparate pieces.
Yeah.
Because I got my memories in, like, Lord knows what order. So like the series of events didn't really fully make sense to me until I had unlocked all of the memories. And then I had to kind of go back and watch them so that I can somewhat sort of understand the sequence of events that took place to kind of explain what had happened prior to Link being put in the Shrine of Resurrection. So this is, and those are just like random pieces. This seems like it's the meat and potatoes.
It does. I do want to touch base with you quickly before we talk about Amiibo, because we obviously have to talk about Amiibo. There are two characters that we haven't seen before that were kind of shown off to a certain degree. Number one, I'm going to throw on the screen right now. When I first saw this, I thought Zelda was on a horse.
Oh, I can see why you would.
So it's quite obviously a third character, and presumably it's Impa.
Yeah, I think
a
so.
Young Impa.
Probably, yeah.
It's the same hat that old Impa has, the same hair ties, the same white hair. So presumably we're going to be able to fight as a young Impa in this game.
Absolutely think we will.
Which is extraordinarily amazing to me.
Yes, me too.
So that I'm extremely excited about. And then on the box art, let me see if I have a good picture of it here. Throw the box art on the screen. Boom!
Are you talking about that little egg guardian?
Yes. So he's important enough to be front and center.
Yeah.
In the middle of all of the heroes.
I think he's probably a playable character.
I can see that too. So to what degree, though, I'm not sure what he is. He obviously looks like a mini guardian to a certain degree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the King of Hyrule is like, okay, Zelda, you can go and fight, but I'm taking this guy with you, or take this guy with you. He's going to protect you. He's your personal, like, guardian keeper, something like that. So it could be her bodyguard, even though she has 5 other bodyguards. But still, I'm curious to see to what capacity he's going to play in the game.
I think he's probably, if I had to venture a guess, because the King of Hyrule seems to have his passion for technology, sure, because she hasn't yet unlocked her Triforce abilities, which is her princessly responsibility. And that's kind of more where his headspace is. But I would suppose that this is a character of Zelda's own invention, where she was kind of taking some of the Sheikah technology and she made, this is like her personal pet project.
Interesting, yeah.
And this one, because of, I don't know, maybe the particular way that she programmed it or she made it, it was not susceptible to Ganon's corruption, or maybe it just happened to not be with all of the other ones as the malice infected them and Ganon was able to take him over. But there was something unique about this particular one that allowed it to not go bad.
Sure. Can we take just a minute to just gawk at this box art? If you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, you can't see this box art, but my God, this is probably my favorite Nintendo Switch box art to date.
Yeah, man.
It is good. Epic in every capacity. So you have all four champions, Link, Zelda. In the background, you have a divine beast just hovering over everybody. And that's another thing we never touched on. What the divine heck beast. Are the divine beasts going to do in this game?
Yeah.
Because they're your side.
Yeah. And they're also, at some point, during this timeline, taken over.
Yeah, they're going to turn on you.
So we're going to probably see pre-divine beast before any of the champions are actually dubbed champions, before any of them even agree to pilot these divine beasts. Then we're going to see the period of time where they are the pilots of the divine beasts. I don't know to what extent that's going to play into gameplay. That I would have to imagine would be cutscenes, because I don't really see us moving these divine beasts in that way. And then we're also going to see the period of time where I have to presume the champions are meeting their end.
Yeah.
From the Blights.
That's going to be emotional, to say the least.
I wonder how hard Nintendo's going to hit us with it. Because this could seriously be quite impactful.
I mean, at the end of the game, Zelda is locking away her only hope to save Hyrule. Her father's dead. She's presumably, she feels like she's going to die trying to stop this from happening. She lost 4 of her friends in the form of the champions.
Yeah.
Everything is falling down.
About to lose Link.
Even the final scene of the trailer, you have Zelda saying, "I have to stop you." And she's crying.
I have to save everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And this could be, it could be tough. I mean, there is not a happy ending to be found in this game. Unless it potentially ends with something outside of that. So maybe the final battle of this game is recreating the final battle of Breath of the Wild.
There is a happy ending, but it's bittersweet because we already know exactly how this game ends. And that is Zelda triumphs over Ganon. She traps him, and it is with great sacrifice. And basically everyone perishes or nearly perishes in this effort, but Zelda does ultimately triumph. She manages to trap Ganon. She's the hero of this story, and she holds him imprisoned for 100 years.
Is it crazy to think, though, that let's say the final battle kicks in and you're at that final point right before Breath of the Wild's going to start, well, 100 years before it's going to start, and they say 100 years later, and what if they recreate the final battle from Breath of the Wild in this game to kind of give you that closure to a certain degree? Would that be something you would even want to see?
I don't think I would want it, but I wouldn't turn it. I wouldn't turn it down. Like if they want anything they want to throw at me, I will consume gladly. Sure. But I do feel like the final battle is you don't get a bigger moment than every champion dying, Link laying down his life, and Zelda finally being the savior of Hyrule in this self-sacrificial effort, finally unlocking her power after all of this time, and it taking everything that she has to contain this just impossibly imposing villain. I feel like that's the height. That's a higher point. That's a bigger moment to me than Link even beating Ganon at the end of Breath of the Wild. Because the collateral damage is so high. The sacrifice is so high. I don't know that I'm going to be able to play this game without like tears of emotion streaming down my face. And not just because it's a sad story, but because of how badly I wanted to be able to experience this and play this. It's the realization of every dream I ever had. This is what I was playing in my head while I was playing Breath of the Wild with my hands.
It's still wild. It's happening. I'm still not totally sure I'm not dreaming.
Oh, man. Maybe I am still dreaming. I'm still in that dream where I invented this game. So let's just take a quick moment to talk about playable characters.
Sure.
Who we know we got the four champions. That's for sure.
So four champions, Link, Zelda, Impa makes the most sense. That little robot guy makes the most sense.
Yeah, I think we're there. I also think we're probably going to fight as the king.
And that was what I was going to say. I would hope at bare minimum we get to. Just even for one scene, I'd like to take control of the king.
There's certainly a precedent established. The King of Red Lions was playable in the previous Hyrule Warriors. And this king does not look like the kind of guy who chafes his rear end on the throne. Yep. This is a pretty buff dude. He seems like he's a battle hardened general type king. So I think him being out in the wild, leading his troops on the battlefield is completely in character for this guy. So playable king seems extremely plausible.
Here's my big prediction, and I'm almost always wrong, but here's what I'm hoping. You're going to be in a certain area, let's say Zora's Domain, and you have to take on waves and waves of enemies. And when you get to a certain point, it's going to say your divine beast is ready, and you get to pilot the beast, shooting gigantic laser beams down at mobs of enemies and watching them just scatter. Like, I totally see you being able to pilot these things in battle.
Well, now that you mention it, in Hyrule Warriors, there's this Ganon's Fury mode that I actually mentioned last week, where you do play as Dark Beast Ganon, who is massive in comparison to the rest of the characters, and I would say even comparably sized to maybe a Divine Beast. So maybe you do go into a mode where you are much, much bigger than all of the other enemies, and you just wreak havoc as a champion in one of the Divine Beasts. Yeah. So that's totally possible.
So I see that happening. For some reason, I see the ability to like hijack a guardian, like ride on top of it and like control it. That could be something Zelda can do.
Maybe.
But as far as playable characters, that's about it that I can think of.
How do you feel about Wolf Link? Because Wolf Link is a character who played with me through all of Breath of the Wild. I didn't play a minute of Breath of the Wild on Switch without Wolf Link by my side.
Yeah.
And so being able to summon this character from another dimension, which is literally what Breath of the Wild says, into Hyrule Warriors, I can't imagine that's that much of a stretch.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's a stretch. I'm just not sure if that's what they want to be promoting here. I like the idea, and you're probably right, because I'm always wrong on all this stuff. But something tells me Nintendo is going to be focusing hardcore specifically on Breath of the Wild, and other characters be damned. Maybe I'm wrong.
What about the Zora King, the big whale? You think we're going to get a big, because we know he's a warrior too.
Yeah.
He threw, was it a guardian? He threw a guardian off a mountain or something.
Yeah. Possibly. I could see that. There's that other Zora too. I think it's her brother.
Oh, Sidon. Now, I'm not exactly sure how the memories, I think he's like a little tiny boy at this point in time. Unless I'm conflating the memories.
Yeah,
from,
I think you're right.
I think when Zelda asks, it might be the same cutscene where Zelda asks Mipha to pilot Varuda.
Yeah.
That she also is teaching Sidon how to climb up a waterfall. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have a 5-year-old on the battlefield. Yeah. We have, that's way more plausible than having, Agatha from Hyrule Warriors, the little bug princess from Twilight Princess, the most absurd character in the entire game by far. So having little kid Sidon, I would be totally fine with it. I actually think it would be cool to have Sidon. He's a fan favorite, but could they play with the timeline enough to make him in his adult form? I don't know. That might be a little bit too weird. I don't know how fast. We don't really know how fast they grow. Maybe he had a growth spurt from the time. And we also really don't know how much time passed from the point that Zelda asked Mipha to be the pilot and when the actual battle took place. We know it can't be dramatically too long, because otherwise Zelda would have aged also.
Yeah.
But I don't really know. So I mean, they got some wiggle room there.
I personally hope they keep it simple, where we don't need what we had with the previous Hyrule Warriors. We had every character you could possibly imagine in the game.
Yeah.
I want it to be an easy to comprehend storyline that's not convoluted with unnecessary characters. Maybe once the original story's done, down the line, if you want to mess with it and put a different mode in with DLC fighters and stuff like that,
yeah,
I'm fine with that. But I think the characters we've mentioned, the four champions, Link, Zelda, and the King, potentially taking control of the Divine Beasts, I think that's going to be it.
Well, there's another angle that I don't think we should overlook, which is that in the original Hyrule Warriors game, you play through like 2/3 of the campaign, and then all of a sudden they flip the script.
Yeah.
And you're Ganon. You're playing as the bad guy in the desert trying to regain his power. So I don't know that I would be terribly surprised if at some point they do that in this game too. And
I'd be fine with that.
I think it would be amazing. So maybe they...
I guess how that works. So again, I think that goes back to what we said before. What level of Ganon are we going to see in this game? Is it going to be simply Malice? Or are we going to see a humanoid version of Ganon? Do we know specifically, like, was Ganondorf... Do we know anything about Ganondorf in Breath of the Wild lore at all?
I don't think so.
Like, he didn't go and trick the king, like, in Ocarina of Time.
People have theories and there have been speculation, but I don't think that there's been anything that is actually in the game laid out, and there's only a suggestion of it in the Breath of the Wild 2 trailer. So how much of the Breath of the Wild 2 lore or story is going to leak into this game, I don't really know.
I think quite a bit. I think this is our precursor to that. I think we're going to get more from this than Breath of the Wild in terms of what we can expect in Breath of the Wild 2. So I think we're going to get more history of what the heck happened. And I think a lot of that's going to bleed into Breath of the Wild 2 for sure.
We might be able to play as Master Koga.
Oh, I can see that.
I don't know how old he is. I don't know if he's 100 years old. Maybe he's young and in his prime.
Could be.
I don't remember the name of this monk, but the monk that you face as your final challenge in the Trial of the Sword.
Oh, yeah.
Could be a playable character. He's young and in his prime.
All the other monks, too. I mean, we presumably would get to see something of them, right?
Like, I would imagine.
Non-skeletal forms.
Yeah. So having at least one tough fighting monk. He seems to make the most sense because he's kind of like the leader of all of the monks. It seems like he's the only one that we ever actually see in action. And he's got all kinds of cool moves that are kind of similar to the techniques that are employed by the Yiga clan.
Yeah.
And so being able to use some of that stuff, I could see how it would translate so easily into the Breath of the Wild. I'm sorry, into Hyrule Warriors, that it seems like a very natural addition.
I'm excited that we get more information on this soon. So
soon.
The fact that the game is going to be out when I have a 1-month-old daughter in the house makes it, I guess, pretty apparent I'm not going to be beating this game in one sitting like I used to. I'll definitely get some playtime in. That's the joy of the Switch, where I can be in bed playing the game. So I'm excited for sure. But before we end this, I do want to talk about the Amiibo.
Yes.
We talked about this last week, that Nintendo was re-releasing the 4 champions. Now we know why.
Yeah.
We were kind of guessing at that point, like, why would they be re-releasing these 4 specifically? And now we know why. We don't know specifically what they're going to do. So Nintendo just confirmed that there is Amiibo support in the game. God, I hope it's better than the standard Amiibo support we got in Hyrule Warriors. It was one of the most lackluster Amiibo support games that I've played. So I really, really hope we get something more than here's some items, here's a rupee.
Yeah, what I really hated about it was so trolly. Like, you, first of all, you could only scan 5 Amiibo. It didn't matter how many you had. You could only scan 5 a day. And they could give you basically any collectible material that you could get throughout the game. Sometimes they were rare, not very often. Sometimes they're super common. They could also give you weapons. Some of them gave you specific weapons. Like, for example, the original Hyrule Warriors, the only way to get the spinner weapon for Link was to scan the Link Amiibo. Yeah. In subsequent games, it's actually included in the game.
And that thing was just OP. Like,
it's so pretty cool.
Overpowered.
Pretty cool. But you could also get, like, 1 rupee.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I got 1 rupee a disproportionate number of times. It was funny the first time. And then every time all week long that I've been playing the game, I get 1 rupee. I'm like, okay, all right, that's just about enough of that, I think. So I hope that they do have maybe more extensive use. But what are you going to do when you realize that the champions are just the tip of the iceberg and they're actually unique Hyrule Warrior Age of Calamity Amiibo?
It's not going to happen.
You don't see Little Egg Amiibo?
I would buy it. So, instead of re-releasing these 4, I'm surprised Nintendo just didn't make a new one, because people would have gone nuts for them. If the Cat Mario and Cat Peach were any indication about the popularity of these things, they sold out quick at Amazon. Incredibly quick. People are excited about Amiibo still. So I'm kind of surprised Nintendo isn't just releasing more variety, because at this point, I have nothing to buy. Like, I'm not going to rebuy. Well, I guess if they had like new packaging, maybe I would. but probably not. I'm probably not going to rebuy these Amiibo because I have them. So I'm not expecting there to be any additional Amiibo released.
Well, is it interesting to you that
I'd love to be wrong?
There's no Link in Zelda. And it kind of feels like maybe they would also add Link and Zelda. The two like main characters of the series don't have Amiibo. So maybe they're keeping that under the hood, and so there is going to be a new Zelda and a new Link Amiibo announced in a subsequent...
But we have Zelda and Link Amiibo.
But why are they not getting re-released along with Champions? They would sell like crazy.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because they should have. If that were the case, re-releasing the Champions, perfect choice. They don't need to remake those Amiibo. Those Amiibo look fantastic.
Yeah.
They didn't sit on the shelves for very long. They didn't sell that well, surprisingly. And I think that they're going to sell well now. So remaking them, and they already put the work in, great idea. But then why would you not also put Link and Zelda? Because those two are going to obviously sell way better than any of the champions.
That's a really good point. Don't give me hope, man. Don't do it.
I think we're going to get Link in that pose that he is on the front of the box, and Zelda with that glowing hand in her white dress.
Don't do it, man. Don't do this to me.
I don't like to speculate on these, but it just doesn't quite add up that they would have left Link and Zelda out, but yet they're going to re-release all the champions.
You're not wrong. Let me double check the Nintendo CPSA website to make sure they haven't today. I check this site almost every day. This is my bread and butter, man. Nope, it's just Daruk, Urbosa, Revali, and Mipha. Nothing else.
Yeah, but
you might be on to something, man.
Surprisingly, they managed to keep this game completely under wraps. Nobody had any idea. No, of all the leaks that came out, nobody mentioned anything about this. And so it was just such an incredible delight. Maybe they're also keeping the Amiibo secrets, too.
You got me super curious, my friend. You know, I'd love to keep talking. I got to get ready for bed here. Totally.
Yeah, man.
I do want to thank you for coming on and giving me your expertise on this. Obviously, when I say coming on, you're always on this show. But
I really did was pour my heart out.
This is going to be a topic we're going to be covering until this thing comes out.
People are going to be sick of it. They're going to be sick of it, and they're going to be sick of me because I'm never going to shut up about this game for the next 5 years.
But my friend, where can the good folks at home find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Custom Conquest, where I'm going to be tweeting pretty much nothing but Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity stuff. And you can find me on YouTube at, well, how do you say that? Nintendo Wire's YouTube channel.
Yep. And then for me, you can find my personal Twitter account at AmiiboJason. Otherwise, you can find me at NintendoWire.com for all your latest Nintendo news, at NinWire on Twitter, and of course on YouTube, where we have the Nintendo Wire tab airing about two or three times a week, YouTube.com/NintendoWire. We're doing pretty darn good lately. I'm pretty excited about the traffic we've been seeing over there. So if you like this podcast, check out the videos. We do lots of stuff. TJ has an entire backlog of amazing videos. Check them out.
Anything a whole else? Series of Custom Conquest based on Zelda. So
he does.
Give that one a watch if you're interested in Zelda Amiibo.
You're going to have to make the Cat Luigi Amiibo, right?
I think you're right. How can I not? And, of course, Cat Toad. And I might as well do Cat Rosalina while I'm at it.
Let's do it. I mean, there's already World Nintendo figures, I think, for all of those, right?
There is, but they're not quite as detailed, so I think I would I'd have to go about it another way.
All right, Custom Conquest. Maybe
could
it's
be
back. Maybe it's not.
Could be back.
Who knows? All right, guys, until next time, stay wired in.